Greetings, salute and welcome, lady beings, gentle wonders, and other creatures of the night. This is the Truth or Death podcast created by Lola Hamilton and Ebo, your hosts to diversify your life. It's time for insights on the creative arts scene, hacks and tools for healthier living, and hearing stories from voices around the world to share their truth stories. Are you ready to dare your truth? A new episode of the Truth or Death podcast starts now.
First of all, are you guys crazy? We are growing. We have now a battle between the UK and the US of our most listeners out there. So thank you so much. And we keep growing as a community. I'm super happy about this. Today, I have another amazing interview for you guys. And I'm super excited because there's so much cool energy in the room already. I'm not alone. I'm with Mirko today. And we're going to talk about, I don't want to give too much away, but let's say like creative journeys, who he is, what visions we share. And yeah, so welcome and hello to the podcast, Mirko.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, yes. You can just give it away right away. Introduce yourself a little bit and before we dive into the questions.
Yeah, I'm Mirko, 25 years old by now. And in 2020, I quit my job in IT as technical telephone support engineer to train for something that fulfills me in life. I'm a self-taught multimedia designer and photographer. My focus lays in graphic design, like branding and editorial. In photography, I shoot nature, landscape, wildlife, and sometimes vehicles. It just depends. I'm pretty much yet in the exploring phase, so trying out new fields, but with a tendency to nature. And video production is also part of my profession. I did some projects for my portfolio from scratch, planning, shooting, editing, this kind of stuff. It was quite an interesting, but also a tough journey being self-taught, which is something I'll talk about today with you. I basically went from hating my previous job in IT to being addicted to my new profession that also became my passion, and I would somehow title it as calling. I had to make some tough choices in life, go through some really dark moments and fight some inner demons. I'm also a writer, or I was at least. Just wrote some personal fan fiction, so nothing serious like you, for example. But I'm planning for some future projects. I'm romantic, honest, sensitive, empathetic, and an introvert. Quite a challenging mix sometimes. Though I haven't found the right person to share my life with yet. I have an old-timer tractor, a British one, which is both a hobby of mine and some kind of design projects. I try to make it look old and modern in the same way. The kind of music I'm listening to goes from classical to rock, so a pretty wide range. My favorite bands and singers are Selena Gomez and Imagine Dragons, but especially Imagine Dragons have become really important to me this year.
Awesome. Like, as you guys can already hear, I mean, let's face it, I always bring cool people onto this podcast. Like, there's no question in that. So thank you so much for your introduction, first of all. There's already so much empowering in that. And I cannot wait to dive deeper into, yeah, the questionnaire that I prepared. So you've already gave us a bit of an introduction to yourself, but let's dive a bit deeper. So the journey of a visionaire, tell us a bit more about your creative path and like what has you brought and motivated to go there?
Yeah, I'd love to explain that a bit more in detail to you. I've always been a creative mind, but this vein didn't come out as much as I wanted to. I wasn't encouraged at a young age. Looking back, there have been many signs that I should have gone this way in multimedia design. I was interested in video editing since I launched iMovie for the first time back in 2011. I took a lot of photos from the garden, flowers, vegetables, fruits, and the pets of my parents. I don't know, simply didn't have the right start at this age. I somehow tried to fit in. Though my dream has always been making movies. The whole production process fascinated me, and I guess the behind the scenes documentaries of Harry Potter movies contributed quite a bit to that. I grew up far away from civilization. Everything around me here is either tourism or agriculture. Not the ideal environment for someone with big dreams. But the indicators of my true profession, my calling, if you will, go back at a very young age. Well, I chose a job that has a big contrast to being creative. Started an apprenticeship in IT, and during the school days when we had to write code, doing all the database stuff, I didn't understand any of this. What I did instead was writing fan fictions, which made actually more sense to me. I finished the apprenticeship pretty well and moved to the technical telephone support department. Though I was a part of a really nice team, I really missed them sometimes. I was different, thinking creatively, or in other words, thinking in a complete opposite direction. I tried to fit in more, but I couldn't. I was stuck. So I had to come up with another different solution. Write everything possible to stay within the company, searching for a creative job, but unfortunately, there wasn't an option. Leaving was the toughest, but also the best decision I've made in summer 2020. I still have dreams about working there, talking to former colleagues, or being on trips with them. I really miss them, and I wouldn't have left them if it wasn't necessary. I wasn't allowed to study multimedia design at the university, and a three-year apprenticeship would have taken too long. So I came up with a different solution. Learning from home started to become a big deal last summer. So I enrolled in a distance study. This was meant to be done over a period of time of 19 months after work or besides work. I did this in full time within 6 months. Got the certificate, but it wasn't enough for me. I didn't feel ready enough to join any creative team in a company. So I decided to take a few more online classes on Udemy and later on LinkedIn Learning to dive in even deeper. Since June or July this year, I started the application process. And then I realized that almost every employer is looking for someone who has a bachelor's degree and at least 2 years of experience. That's for a very beginner's job. This has a requirement, a huge obstacle that seemed impossible to overcome. I thought it was easier, but the more applications I wrote, the more I felt pressured. Receiving one rejection after another let me doubt myself, questioning if I'm good enough, wondering if I overestimated my abilities. I usually underestimate them, but the whole process put so much pressure on me. Even a part of my supporters turned against me, saying that I rather should do a real job, not knowing that graphic design, photography, and filmmaking is a huge industry, but okay. But that's not all. I really had to fight imposter syndrome as well. I actually have to fight it even today. When people are satisfied with what I'm doing, I'm not, at least not 100%. I simply want total perfection, which is almost impossible to achieve. Not having a mentor and being your own guide on this journey was hard. I started a mini job to have at least something. It was delivering newspapers, but on the first day, I received so many signs of the universe that I shouldn't do this. I'm usually not good at seeing signs of the universe or people as well, but this time it was so clear that even I understood. So I quit after the first day and continued going my own way. wrote and sent more applications, received rejections, doubting myself, but I never lost hope. I was even rejected for a job simply filling up shelves in a supermarket. I was like, am I not even good enough to do this job? But the rejection topic would fill a whole podcast episode itself. And as I mentioned already, I would love to come back to you to talk about it. I had a few job interviews though that made me pretty nervous. I messed up a few of them, which didn't have a good or positive effect on my mental health as well. There was this one day I played with the thought of giving up, and by giving up everything, and by everything, I literally mean everything. There have been quite a few times in the past year having thoughts of giving up. I mean, this huge uncertainty, the big unknown of my future as a creative professional was, still is something I'm carrying around with me. One day I was so down, even considered going back to the job I hate, a job in IT, far from what suits me. I was thinking rather having a job I hate, not good at, that made me literally sick, than facing this uncertainty that lays right in front of me. I guess you can imagine how desperate I was at this moment. I had to change something. Thinking about what I shall write in a cover letter to get hired for a job I hate is something I simply couldn't do. So I decided to go a different way, something I never wanted to, but I felt like I had no other choice. I tried to start some kind of business recently in stock photography and in freelance graphic design. But the market is so oversaturated, which makes it really challenging to get established. I started writing a blog on my website, talking about the whole self-taught story. I thought about making voice recordings of it and create some videos. It's still at the very, very beginning, and I don't know what or if something like that works out. This was something only the future will show. All I wanted as I started this journey of becoming a self-taught multimedia designer was to have a job I enjoy without worries, with a lot of creativity and room to grow. But where am I now? I was frightened, stressed, pressured, and not as creative as I could have been. I turned into a kind of workaholic, became addicted to e-learning, and I still don't know what's coming next. In my previous job, I was close to burnout, and the situation where I am in today, well, it's risky as well. There have been days where the stress and pressure overwhelmed me. Fortunately, I recognize it early enough to take a break, but I'm still running away from my past. I don't want to go back where I was. I've learned so much during this self-taught journey, much more than I learned in almost 5 years in IT, because I'm passionate about it and I love what I'm doing. I turned my living room into an office and multimedia studio, including a backdrop for taking photos and a small audio booth to record voiceovers for my videos. Those two couches I had, a bunch of pillows and blankets, really have turned into a DIY audio booth. My TV serves as a third monitor sometimes, and that's it. There is no living room anymore, it's a working room. Some people really went crazy last year. I was just creative and came up with simple but unique ideas to be able to do what I love. It wasn't always easy, but there wasn't a single day I regretted this decision. Overall, there have been multiple times I thought of giving up because the pressure and responsibility were too intense. But then I listened to music, one song especially, and it reminded me why I'm doing this. And this one song is Whatever It Takes by Imagine Dragons. I do whatever it takes to have a better future in my new profession. I love the feeling of small signs that affirm that I, as a self-taught, can have success, even without a bachelor's degree or apprenticeship. I'm breaking those chains of society and the normal way by what I'm doing. My effort, motivation, and consistency will take me to the top where I want to be. At the beginning of 2021, I wasn't ready, but now I am ready. I'm thrilled to do this job and grow both personally and professionally. My ambitions make me believe in myself, and that it's going to work out. I'm simply doing whatever it takes to achieve my goals. That was basically my small interpretation of the song that means so much to me. But let's talk about where I'm standing right now. One important step that made me realize where I am was to make a storyline of my creative journey. Taking the basic structure of almost every Hollywood movie, break it down which step was what on this graph. I wrote it down after having this very uncomfortable conversation with my doubters, who put even more pressure on me. After writing multiple unique cover letters and unsuccessfully applying, I took the advice of some friends to send out a simple, boring application. No cover letter, just my CV, even without a portfolio. And you know what? That was the key. I have an internship at a very promising young startup. I can work from home. And though it's just the graphic design part of what I'm doing, it's a first very important step. The company is called Pat Leo. And what they do is developing an app for iPhone and Android that helps pet owners, doesn't matter if dog, cat, hamster, or horse, to manage their pet's health. You can book appointments with vets, even doing medical video chats with them. They write and share pet-related articles in the app, product offers, and maps where you can find dog parks, clinics, and which is very important, the app shows potential dangers in your area, like poison beds or other dangers. Building a community for pet owners and enable you to take better care of your pet and make sure it's happy and healthy. I really felt such a huge relief after meeting the whole team and especially after chatting with the other design intern. She started 2 weeks before me, and yeah, I'm glad to have someone to collaborate with, talk to, and share some experiences. She comes from a different area of expertise, so we're sitting basically in the same boat, and that's what makes it so interesting. Though she has more experience than I, sharing opinions and working together is so amazing. It makes me realize that my way, my training, and everything I did in the past year worked out. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. The fact that I learned such a broad variety of fields in a creative area is quite an advantage for everything. Knowing a little bit of all the different aspects, having a wider field of view is a strength because it makes you be more concerned about all the small details a normal graphic designer, for example, wouldn't think of. Of course, they are more skilled in their expertise, but I see the world through different lenses. I'm a writer, designer, photographer, video editor, and I had a bit of marketing and web development. Oh, and I'm still an IT guy. This gives me a huge overview of so many things. This is especially valuable in a startup where people sometimes have to fit in multiple roles. And the fact that I turned into a workaholic, working more with joy, comes in quite handy as well. I don't have to work as much as I do, but I simply do it because it fulfills me. It's the complete opposite of what I did at my previous job. The way I decided to walk on also proved to me that you really don't need a design degree to go into design or somewhere else. My graphic design teacher didn't have a degree either, so it can work out for everyone who's passionate and consistent enough. That's a message I can give to the audience, to basically everyone who's fighting for their dreams. I don't have certainty what's about to happen after the 3 months of internship, but it's such an important experience. It shows to literally everyone, my family, future employers, and especially to the job agency, that my way kind of worked out. Though I'm just having this internship now, I'm still not in safe haven yet. The great uncertainty is right around the next corner. I have to keep fighting, hustling, and hoping. Celebrating those small successes, but never settle. The point of no return, meaning going back to IT, did I pass a long time ago. That job wasn't really meant for me. I felt like I was pretending to be good at this stuff in IT. Some people are good at it, making a living of pretending something they never studied, for example. But I finished this apprenticeship and still struggled. My brain works differently. I wasn't supposed to do this job in the first place. I wasn't passionate about it. I had a hard time adapting to all those components. I'm just someone who wants to live, having something that doesn't make me sick, just to get the bills paid at the end of the month. I'm looking for growth, fulfillment. This whole journey just about training for a job that brings joy into my life. I really wanted an ordinary life. I thought it was an exciting and joyful journey, but it certainly turned out a bit like the adventure in The Lord of the Rings. I wasn't returning chivalry. I just wanted to train for a new job using distance studies and online courses. Both scenarios sound simple, basically, but life doesn't always turn out like expected. I was walking paths I never wanted to go, but it felt like I had to. There have been obstacles crossing my way that seemed to be impossible to overcome, but I'm not giving up until I finally reach my destination, which certainly isn't Mordor, but hopefully a better life. I'm not saying working in IT is a bad job. Of course, it isn't, but when you're a creative kind of person and your logical side of brain doesn't adapt to those principles that are required, it's really tough. I went through quite a few things I didn't want to, but it taught me so much, both for my career and personally. This is so great because you won't ever learn these things while going the ordinary way. So being a self-taught is really, really challenging and exhausting sometimes, but it can be so much more rewarding for your entire life. I have to fight against the job agency right now. They have to understand that I did those over 50 courses and the distance study for a reason. And it doesn't mean that I won't continue learning and taking courses. I just took a shortcut to do something I'm passionate about. At this point, it doesn't make sense talking about retraining yet again, learning the stuff I already learned. Though it turned out that they would throw me back into the IT after the medical report I had to do, I'm fighting on multiple front lines now, which of course has a negative effect on my creativity, my creative potential. But it's this time that really makes me stronger. While others probably would surrender, I'll keep the game going. Like I always please to say, I do whatever it takes. At this point, I must be either completely crazy or really determined on achieving my goals. 2021 was just the beginning of this creative journey. The thing is that I think society doesn't really accept it as much as it should be. But everything or everyone that's not following the crowd, unfortunately, still has to deal with rejections and negativity. What I can share as some inspiration and advice on that is that being rejected and not trusted with certain tasks is normal. As a self-taught, you're carrying such a burden, so much responsibility, because you're trained yourself. Everything was your responsibility, but this shouldn't discourage you or make you feel unworthy to do a job. After several rejections, I realized it's probably not because I'm bad at what I'm doing. I mean, I'm not the only one who gets rejections. Even people with more experience or a higher degree get rejected. Applying for a job pretty much is like dating, I think. A job interview is quite an intimidating situation for the person who applies, probably not for the interviewer. And it's about to find out if it matches. When there is no harmony, when it doesn't feel right on both sides, it's not worth it. That's normal. That's life. It's never a good move to get into something where you feel uncomfortable just to have a job or a partner. This is toxic and will certainly hurt you in the long run. It took me quite some time and nerves to realize that. Life is like a movie, and after realizing where I was, I knew what happened next and it worked out. Understanding how movies or storytelling in general work made me understand life, how life works better. Because all the stories we're telling, if it's in a movie or in a book, are simply a small representation of life. My creative journey was a period of 1.5 years. Another reason I didn't give up is that I never know how close or far away I'm from my goals. Maybe it's just 1 centimeter away. Maybe I'm miles away. I don't know. But because of that, I'm not giving up. It can happen overnight. It can happen tomorrow or next year. I simply don't know and don't want to miss the chance of a better future by giving up and leaving my path. I walked for over 1.5 years now. When I think about my personal love story, I'm just at the very, very beginning, which already is a time span of 2 or 3 years. So it's completely different dimensions, but that's something we'll talk about later.
Wow, first of all, usually I'm the one that talks everyone down. So thank you so much for sharing this. I think, guys, there's so like, I kept on like, should I interrupt? No, let him talk. It's so good. Yeah, it's amazing what you just shared with us. And to quickly impulse this before I'm gonna give it away in an episode you're gonna hear actually earlier than this one. So by this time this episode comes out, go back and listen to the special episode that's coming out. I need to check the schedule. Anyways, I'm going aside from what you just said, basically everything, like there's so much input to take from this. And as someone who's also self-employed and biz owner of two businesses, or as I always like to say, author and mentor business, there's so much truth in there of what you just said. And like, I love the fact when you mentioned the thing of like, so I applied to all these jobs and they were not meant for me. And then I did this one thing, which was basically for me, and then it worked. And like, I know it always sounds so simple, and like, how should we know what really works then? Cause like most of us, I think, have the problem that we know what we want, but society tells us, no, you can't do this, or it's so unrealistic. But if you break things down, and that's always the thing, like we by now live in a society where we have so many possibilities to do what we want. And obviously there are countries who have it not as I would say, rich from the society system that we live in. So I'm not talking about like everyone's possibilities around the world. But if we look, for example, because I live in the UK, Mirko is from Germany, like there are so many more possibilities than just the 9-to-5 job. And that's something that is so important to understand, because we often have this system of like, oh, then you go to school and then you go to university. Or if you're not going to university, you're most likely going to jump into a job that you're meant to do for like the next 40, 50 years. But that's not how this world works anymore. Like there's so much more to do. And I dare you to go out there and just follow your dream, because there are so many people who get miserable along the way because they were pressured into something they really don't want to do. And honestly, take this as someone that has to deal with people that had cancer and also have been struggling with certain leg injuries. Take this from someone that knows or is always close to death in that sense. Life is simply too short. Life is too short to make something that makes you unhappy. Sure, we have to pay bills. Sure, we have to find certain ways. But if it's going to drag your mental health down or makes you physically unwell or both of these things at the same time, do not go for it. Like there are other ways in the society that we live in that you can do to look after yourself and to, you know, at least try. Like as of this point, I'm far away from being financially stable with the business that I'm running at the moment, and I'm far away from what I really want to achieve, like of the giant vision that I have. But like literally today I was given another chance of like being self-employed and stuff and just really going for it this time. Because and I've watched this video lately from Jim Carrey where he basically said the reason why I failed is because I was trying something I was not meant to do in the first place. And I think that is something so important to take away from this, because, and I'm not saying you're not going to fail at what you love, because there's so much lessons to learn. Like if you look at my journey, if you look at Mirko's journey, even if we go for what we love, there are still certain lessons that we have to learn, and that's okay. But if you are on the path and if you are doing something that is really genuine, then I can promise you that it's going to work out. And no matter what you believe in, if it's God's universe or whatever it is, it has your back. It has your back. Because like if it's genuine, it's going to work out the way you want it to be. And not in the sense of like the way you picture it, because sometimes we wish for something and then things start to change and we're like, oh no, this is really uncomfortable, I don't want to do this. But sometimes we have to move out of our comfort zones to make certain adaptations so that we then can achieve this certain life. I mean, for example, I'm taking this, when I came to London, I wanted to do more acting first. So I did acting and stuff. But I soon realized that my joy of acting is the lean towards either like movie acting or like music video acting. And then stage acting, which is so controversial on both ends. But I also realized that the joy of expressing different characters was always kind of like, I never felt it to 100% to make it into a passion of like, this is what I want to go for all my lifetime. But one thing that always stuck with me was writing and inspiring people. So this is the premise. And I had this at 15 and I'm now 26. So take this from someone that has basically spent 10 years of doing so much that, and this is the thing, I don't regret any bit that I did, because for example, one of the years that I did was a financial year, because in Germany we have this belief that you should have a clear CV and like never take a gap year. It's super stupid in my opinion, because it's like, oh yeah, you should rather be in a job that you don't like than especially and then just taking a year to figuring your shit out. Like what the fuck? But now the financial stuff that I did helps me to do my own tax. So it's like there's always a good side to it, even if in that moment I didn't see it. Or for example, the first thing that I always imagined to be is someone that is working in foreign languages, which I do love. I love learning different languages, but the bureaucracy of it and the boring economic part, no, I don't want to do that. I'm way too creative for it. But at the end of the day, it helped me to have a wider understanding for different languages around the world, which then also supported my writing. So there's no part in my journey where I would go, oh, I regret this. I have made certain lessons where I'm like, yeah, if I would have known this earlier, maybe this damage wouldn't have been done. But We are so always focused on the question of fault, and there's a different understanding of like fault versus responsibility. Like, even though it might not have been my fault, it's still my responsibility to deal with certain situations and things. And so I'm now 26, and as I said, I'm far away from my goals and everything. But you know, sometimes it takes time to really stand up for yourself, because like the message that you also can take away from Mirko's story is like, we're so driven in society to judge others for their dreams, and like to really stand up for your dream, that is a journey of confidence, because you need to understand yourself deep down until you really go out with yourself and just say like, this is who I am now. And that's a scary process, and I don't think that will ever go completely away, because like, for example, when I finish another story or a new book, there's always this thing of like, is this enough now? Is this really everything that I want to tell? Like, can I put this out into the world? And at the same time, for example, I know it's going to piss someone off, because I'm never 100% writing something that everyone is going to agree with. But that's okay, because we're not here to please everyone. We are here to tell our truth. And I think that's something so essential to take away from this. Like, you don't know when life is going to end. And this is always a very crucial thing. So it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be in a year, it could be in like 80 years. You don't know. So regardless of facing that, or like especially regarding facing that, do something that makes you happy, and that at the end of the day, you would go like, well, at least I tried. And it's also okay that if you try something and along the way you figure out maybe it was never meant for me, then you at least tried. You can still go back to a 9-to-5 job, or like you can still do a job that maybe is at the end of the day what you really wanted to do, but you can at least try it out. Like, we are always so focused on still the old way thinking of how society should run, but I think it's so important. Or at the same time, like if you're in a job and you're employed in this job for like, I don't know how long years, but you keep basically being dragged down by this job, leave your job and try something new. Like, it's never too late to do that. Like, you know how you hear these stories of like people in their 60s when they're in the pension year, they finally start to like, I don't know, write that book, go to that country that they've never visited. You don't have to wait until you're 60. You can do it now. Like, don't think you can never like make a new change. Like, I think the people that we should really look is, or like, I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you know that I always look into the stories. Like, one of the reasons why I don't put the surnames, for example, in the episode headlines is because I care about the story and not about the name they made. Because like, this is something that we should more look into, because I would rather sit down with someone like Mirko, who's telling me all of his story and stuff, where I'm like, wow, this is really like the essence of Mirko, than someone that goes, so I'm this, this, and this, and yeah, that's who I am. And I'm like, okay, but where did you start? Like, what happened? So just a few impulses from my side before we move on. So thank you so much already for sharing your story. It's an honor to have you here. And we're going to have more inspiration from you, because now we're talking about toxic masculinity. What's something you had to deal with and face regarding your path, and what's absolutely bullshit, because it's okay to be vulnerable as a guy too. Tell us your thoughts.
Yeah, it's absolutely bullshit saying that a strong man has no feelings. Basically having emotions like a rock. Just being physical, strong, rude, or just like bullies. Boys are taught to be tough, strong, and to not show any kind of weakness. I recently watched a YouTube video about this topic that said men are kind of obsolete because we don't have to fight mammoths or saber-toothed tigers. We don't need to hunt to get food, this kind of stuff. So it basically said that women can get anything they want without a man, which is basically true, but the whole video emphasized that men always need attention, looking for affirmations to boost their ego. Watching that really made me speechless. It's so outdated. For some guys, this might actually be true. Some men are looking for affirmations, always wanting to be the strongest, overprotective, but it didn't feel right to me. The whole video was filled with stereotypes. Let's face it, both successful women and men don't necessarily need a partner today to feel complete, but we can't exist without each other. Absolutely not. Saying that men don't have feelings or fewer feelings and emotions than women is also not the case. It doesn't mean we have to expose our emotions side, our emotional side to the whole world, but showing this side to people we care about, people we trust, such as friends, family, or when it's just your partner, it's totally fine. When men have feelings, they are either gay or feminine. The society simply put the wrong label on those who aren't rocks. Like you always talk about labels in this podcast. People love putting them on others. Humans are not like fruits in supermarket. We don't need those labels. There are some who enjoy them, which is okay, but for others, label can really hurt. We are all different, and showing emotions to some people or in public is human. The whole topic is not determined by gender. It doesn't mean a guy showing feelings, maybe even in public, is weak or feminine. Everyone can be overwhelmed by their feelings. That's what makes us human. We shouldn't ever hold them back just to pretend being strong. Feelings are there to be felt. We are not machines without emotions, without a soul. Some are male, others are female, some people are something else. But we are all human, emotional living beings. Showing emotions doesn't determine that you're weak. It's not an indicator of your sexuality, and it shouldn't be reserved to women only. Some guys want to appear so tough, compensating some major mental health issues by how they act and react. There are those machos, you know, those alphas, only showing strength, angriness, and bullying around. I have one specific guy in mind I had to deal with quite a while ago, always talking about just one thing, women, and not in a kind and respectful way, when you know what I mean. Those people even put the wrong label on you when you as a guy don't stare at women like they do. That's the objectification topic, which is such a disrespectful and sometimes also hurtful thing. For example, reading certain comments on Facebook, but the objectification isn't something that only men do. It's just more commonly known in society that they do it more often. It's not only the person who gets objectified is hurt by that, but also the people who are close to the person, look up to them, or any other relationship to the person. So objectification to me doesn't hurt only one person, but multiple. By writing or saying certain things, you don't hurt just one person. Sometimes you can hurt even more people than you know. I'm just saying. I'm an admin in some Facebook groups, so it's something I experienced more than once. Another stereotype that I personally had to deal with for years is the fact that not having a relationship when you hit a certain age. People ask questions, forcing you or even making some jokes of it. As you can imagine, I'm not such a big fan of that. I can't change anything. I can't force someone to be with me. I'm someone who probably has more girly friends than guy friends, which is something certain people don't understand or misinterpret. I've heard quite a few things about me because I'm a sensitive guy. The showing emotions topic is one side of the medal. For sensitive, empathetic guys, it's yet another challenge in life to get accepted. You don't even have to show emotions to be called weak. Let me give you a quick example of a special moment to me. As you know, I'm a pretty big fan of the Australian actress Alicia Debnam Carey, who plays Lexa in The 100 and Alicia Clark in Fear the Walking Dead. And I met her twice at Comic Cons. The first time in Atlanta, which probably couldn't have been a longer distance to travel from Germany, I guess. The second time was in Paris, and to me, it was a bit more overwhelming. After the autograph session, everything came back to me. I was nervous as hell. I guess she definitely noticed it, and she found it kind of cute because I was so nervous and dorky. I didn't think about it at this moment, so it wasn't a big deal for me. I'm those type of a guy who can't hide having a crush on someone. It's pretty obvious, but that's a whole different level this time. Then I left the room with friends, the two girls I recently met in Paris. They were there for me. They both were nervous themselves, but probably not as much as I was. Like I mentioned earlier, everyone reacts differently in certain situations. So I sat down on the floor, taking a deep breath until one security guy wanted us to leave. I wasn't allowed to sit there on the floor. So I was walking down the floor at the side of those two girls who became our friends that weekend, passing all the other fans waiting to get their chance to see the celebrities. Walking all the way out of the hotel in such a moment completely exposed my feelings in some way. Did it was a moment of weakness? Some people would say that, but showing feelings, honest feelings, is actually a strength. Okay, I didn't want it to show them, but sometimes they're just too strong to be held back. Showing feelings as a guy, if you want it or not, doesn't make you less masculine. It doesn't make you feminine either. It shows that also men are living beings with feelings. Some are a little softer than others, but it doesn't mean they're less of a man. It's about diversity in many aspects. Rather than being honest, than being known as someone you are not, just to play cool and strong. It doesn't mean that someone who's soft never gets mad or pissed off when you're being attacked or someone attacks something you really care about. It doesn't mean that men who have feelings are less able to protect the ones they love. It might sound a bit weird, but think about it. What's the reason society says that men should always be strong in any situation? Or in a relationship, I think guys don't always have to be the strong part, always being overprotective. What I want in the future is more acceptance when guys have a tough moment and the girl on their side provide a shoulder to lean on. This should be as normal as the other way around, letting guys have more Paris moments, like I call it now. I once read a quote on Instagram that said, "Be a man who proves not all men are the same." To me, this is quite a big thing because that's what I'm trying to live. I'm not looking for some experience or adventures. You could probably say that my mind is one or two decades older than I actually am. I never had this rebellious, wild phase. All I wanted was to be in a normal relationship, but in an honest and respectful, romantic way.
Thank you so much again. Like, oh my God, there's so much great input on this. You mentioned so many important points here. I mean, you know me, guys, when it comes to me, we still have work to do when it comes to the gender debate. And just in general, what you also mentioned is with, I love the metaphor with the fruits in the supermarket. That was genius, because like, I'm a person that I can live with labels because we live in a society that lives off labels. So I'm fine just saying like I'm Lola or just one thing at the time. Like, I'm fine with this, but I know that a lot of people out there find it so complicated sometimes to just basically label themselves and get labeled often as well. Like, it happens to me, but I have a different stand at this point. Like, as I always like to say in my community, as long as no one gets like boxed, labeled, discriminated, or hurt on purpose, or convinced of of someone else's belief, I'm fine with having anyone really there. And that's also how I feel about the whole like labor situation. It's a different, for example, approach when someone like says, are you this or are you that? And kind of like ask you in a nicer manner. But it's different when someone direct, and these people are out there who just assume certain things. And as a non-binary person who is kind of like, I put this in brackets because, like, as I said, non-binary is non-binary, but more female representing, we get it all the time of like, yeah, but you're a female, right? Like, you look like this. And it's like, not that it is your business in the first place, but what the fuck? And it's the same thing on the other side. I think the whole gender thing that we need to understand, because like sex and gender are two different things in the society, and a lot of people just don't simply understand that. And it's not that hard, because like there are dozens of articles out there right now to just read yourself into this. But also, why are you so bothered about it? Like, what's your deal? As long as someone, like, we are so complex as human beings, and I don't care if a man is more vulnerable and if a woman is more tough, like, as long as they are happy with who they are, or like as long as it's their choice to make, because we are all raised with certain like biases from our parents and environment and stuff. And then on top of that, we also meet society, because we are raised in like schools and stuff as well, and education happens in different circles, yada yada yada. And so yeah, just be who you want to be unapologetically. And especially for men out there, you know, it's really cool to show emotions. We actually like that, regardless of gender. Like, I think it's just the genuine, like, showing emotions and being open to talk about them is a really cool thing in a society where you're constantly so quick judged on social media. So if you do that, that's actually really great. And I mean, for example, if I take it from my journey again, like the amount of times people just say to me, like, you seem to be the only one that really listens to me or cares. And that is sad, but at the same time, it really honors me, because like, not sad in a judgmental way, by the way. It's more a thing of like when people approach me of like, you really seem to listen. And I think that's like, that says a lot about the coaching scene and the mentoring scene as well, that we as coaches, we have a mission to simply be what our customer needs to be. We are not here to put our biases on the clients or on the customers. We are here to listen and see how we can help them. And that's something that is so important, because I feel like it got lost somewhere in the Western world at some point, that there's so much competition out there, and like, you have to do this and you have to do that. And it's like, first of all, you have to listen to your client and just treat them as valid person and human being in this world. But that's a whole nother debate. So thank you for sharing all of this so much with us. We shall move, and you already mentioned it a bit earlier, so let's talk about love and LGBTQ. What's your message on this?
Yeah, very likely. I'll be honest, in my 25 years, I never really had a relationship yet, which is kind of rare today, I think. I tried some dating apps and even the paid ones, but it didn't work out for me. I don't know why, simply no idea why it didn't work out. So I was thinking, what's wrong with me? Questioning if it's ever going to work out. There have been thousands of thoughts that cluttered my mind this time. I have many friends and people who are in a relationship or had many relationships in their lives, but I'm the only one who really struggled. It was something that really dragged me down for quite a while, thinking about what's wrong with me. Am I not good enough, or will I ever be with someone having a girlfriend? It really dragged me down, seriously. For the people, it seemed so easy jumping from one partner to another, what I didn't understand. I'm not someone who tries to hide with masks, using dating tricks like a friend of mine told me I should do. Tips like the metro approach, this kind of methods. But this wasn't right to me. It's not right at all. I mean, when you're trying to meet new people, this shouldn't ever be based on telling lies and hiding at the beginning. This can't be a good way to get into a relationship. To me, a relationship should be based on trust, honesty, and respect from the very beginning. When you start writing with a person from the very first sentence you sent, there was the moment I simply gave up the whole dating thing. It was too frustrating and annoying to me. I couldn't ignore the thoughts that having a relationship would be a beautiful thing. But today I would like to say that my time hasn't come yet. I've been told that I have too high standards, but I don't care about that anymore. I've never been someone who really had that kind of high standards when it comes to girls. Okay, I'm more attracted by brunettes, and there's yet another stereotype that all men are more attracted by blondes. I've always been someone who proved that to be wrong. But coming back to my non-existing standards, it simply has to be the right person to me. A woman I can trust, being myself, rely on her in many ways. When I'm feeling weak, that she'll be there for me and I'll be there for her when she's having a tough time. I imagine a very equal kind of relationship where both are on eye level. It's all about chemistry, and that's probably what makes it so difficult for me or for many others. I enjoy watching romantic dramas. I still call myself romantic, even though I never had someone to actually show it. Just imagining how it would be, what I would do. I got so used to these thoughts, and thinking of having a relationship seems surreal to me now. Maybe there will be someone in my life, maybe not. Maybe she's listening to this right now. That's something I had in mind for quite a while now. What if she's out there waiting for me, not knowing that I exist? I thought about doing something unique, showing the world there are people who still believe in the 21st century, in destiny and true love. As a teenager, I watched the show Galileo Big Pictures, where photos from all around the world and the stories behind them are presented to the audience. This probably has the biggest influence that inspired me of doing my daily posts, my daily project. What I'm doing since November 1st, 2020 is writing one post every single day addressed to my future girlfriend. You can easily find those posts by searching for the hashtag Dear Chosen One. I posted on Twitter, which is quite difficult sometimes. You probably know that as well as an author, we tend to write a bit more, a bit too much. And yeah, you're really restricted on Twitter by not writing more than 256 signs or something like that. And that's my challenge every single day, not to hit this limit, not to write too long. A few weeks after starting these posts, I decided to put them into my Instagram story as well. So you will find the archive with all the posts on my Twitter page and only the latest in my Instagram story. I'm doing this for over a year now, and there wasn't not a single day I forgot it. When we think about the stereotypical man that forgets wedding days, anniversaries, even birthdays, this kind of stuff, I yet again don't match it. I don't fit in. Do I have a reminder or something like that? No, I never had something like that. You might wonder what I'm writing about. That's quite a good question, because writing someone you don't know yet sounds difficult. And it was at the beginning, not repeating myself over and over again, thinking about what to write, that's really tough. And I repeated myself multiple times, I guess. Basically, writing things about what I imagine it would be like to be with her, I would like to do with her, such as having a romantic movie night, cuddling on a sofa, or saying that I would like to have photo shoots with her, or that I'll love her one day. Those kind of things. When you go back all the way to the very beginning, there have been quite a few posts where I simply wrote that I would really like to have her at my side. That was when I had to face some really tough moments in life. Times where I really wished there was someone for me. But that has changed because learning new skills during my self-taught journey, during all my online courses, wasn't the only aspect I've accomplished in the past year. I also managed to work on my mental strength, which was really necessary for continuing my journey. What I want to say by that is that my point of view has changed in terms of what she has to be like. I thought that she has to be the strong part of us. I thought that I needed a strong woman, but that's not the case. I need someone on eye level. I'm looking for a relationship that's not just based on honesty, trust, and respect, but also on equality. It basically means when I'm having a weak moment, that she has to be strong. And when she's weak or having a tough time, I'll be strong for her. So that we are together, we always be a strong unit. That's what I'm thinking about, an ideal relationship. That's how I imagine this relationship or any relationship nowadays. When I think about what she should be like, well, creative, because it wouldn't make sense to me if she was a logical person. We basically wouldn't understand each other. Maybe she's a designer as well, a writer, or she's into the movie business. I don't know. But I believe she's a creative mind. No matter what she does, I would love to support her. I kind of imagine this to be a very unique relationship of two creatives. I'm not saying it will be a perfect relationship, which is something I can't even know at this point. But I believe when I found the right one, it will be the kind of relationship I always had in mind. I've got so many ideas for projects I would love to do with her or for her. For example, I want to rewrite a song for her, a song I listened to in one of my dreams. It's originally in German, but in my dream it was in English. So my brain somehow translated that. As I woke up, I checked if it was in English, and of course it wasn't. So I came up with the idea of replacing the lyrics with my own words. And I hope I will finish this until I meet her. Music is such an important part of my life, but unfortunately, I don't understand music or I can't play an instrument yet. Something I would like to say about finding the right partner in general, I think it's not easier for hetero, romantic or sexual people to find someone today than it is for anyone else. Quite a few friends of mine within the LGBTQ community found a partner by now. So even as a hetero romantic guy, it's not a guarantee to find a woman right behind the next corner. Everyone struggles the same way, no matter what sexuality. We are more connected than ever today, which makes it even harder to get into a relationship. That's what I experienced. It's just my opinion. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Thank you so much again for sharing this. Again, I think it's like when you started telling me about this, I was like, this is amazing. Because like, as I mentioned before, just talking about your own emotions, so vulnerable. And I know you're not into spirituality that much, but like when I first came across in the spiritual realm, we have the saying of like finding the soulmate is kind of like what Hollywood made it, but there's a saying of like finding basically your dual soul, which is or like in English, I think it's the twin flame translated, which is best just basically the part of the soul that we're missing out on. And but you mentioned some parts which are so important, and also earlier with the toxic masculinity stuff. I think it was the thing of where you said like we can stand, like women and men can stand on their own, but we can't live without one another. And I thought that was such a powerful thing to say, because like there is a difference of you can be on your own, but you still have, like, there's still a community around you that you're part of, because otherwise you would just be alone. And I think that's such an important thing to understand as well. And the whole journey that you're sharing, I think it's so brave in a world that is so social media driven, because we are always like people have the wildest assumption once you, like, for example, I love going for coffee with people without any further label to it. Like, it's literally just hanging out and having coffee. But people like in the past have assumed that I want to go on a date with them. And I was like, no, it's really just coffee. Like, it's really just coffee. And like, it's so, so hard sometimes. And I'm on the same boat with you. Like, I stopped being on dating apps. Like, there was a time, and I think a lot of people are guilty of this, during the pandemic, when I was bored. I was like, yeah, come on, why not? Funny enough, what I do found was one of my co-workers for REF, but we also met on Bumble Biz and not on Bumble Date, which is a funny story in itself. But yeah, I think it's like what I find so frustrating is sometimes, because I love connecting with people, right? So like I love really having, for example, this is why I love the podcast, because I get to have these like 1 or 2 hours with people to just really go deep for the story, rather than, hey, how's it going? How's the weather? Like, I really don't care about small talk. And I find that so difficult. I mean, nowadays the dating apps, they have all these like features, and I think that's where it starts, because like you suddenly have to fill out basically like your whole paragraph of life story. And then it's like, but the majority of people that spend time on these dating apps, they don't care. They don't read that. They just look at your picture and then swipe right or left, which is fair enough, because like there is a certain, like no one can deny that there is a certain aesthetic attraction. Like, we are all guilty of that without an objectification, which is something that a lot of people sometimes mix up as well. And I've been asked about this a lot too, because I've been basically accused of having too many crushes. And I was like, no, I just find people beautiful. Don't you? Like, there's a difference for me to, like, I can find people beautifully without even wanting to be near them, like, as harsh as that sounds. But like, there are so many pretty people in the world, and like, there's nothing wrong with that. And then obviously there's a different level to objectification. Oh my God, I can't even, objectification, I think. And I think it's also an important part that you make, because like, yeah, the majority of men are guilty of objectifying women, but so in reverse, and so in reverse for the LGBTQ community. I've been, and this is just my experience, I'm not saying all lesbians out there have it for me, I'm just saying that there is a certain type of women that are attracted to non-binary people, or women in itself, can be very objectifying. Like, my history has it that I was more objectified by women than actual men, and still I have my experience with men, but like the majority of times I had bad experience with women. So it's not an exclusive thing, and it's so important that you mention it as well, because yeah, there are all these things that we need to understand when it comes to attraction. Like, attraction in itself is such a different layer to how we feel about certain people, and just the matter of love in itself is also, which is why I think it's so brave, because I think a lot of like people are out there who are quite romantic, but considering how society works nowadays, they kind of like feel like, oh no, we can't express that. Like, if someone would write me a letter, hello, like I would be like, maybe, and this is the thing, maybe I don't project the same feelings, but I would still be honored, because like it's such a nice gesture in a society-driven environment. Or like, I'm a sucker for small things, basically. Like, when someone really takes notice of like, Oh, it's more than just, oh, you changed your hair, because for me that is not really like I change my hair a lot. That's not a small detail. But well, for example, when someone says, oh yeah, you mentioned this man to me, I remember from like 2 months ago. That's something that I really appreciate. And when someone just simply takes time, and I think that's something that is so in the spirit of like the society-driven environment that we live in now, is something that we should all lift up a bit more. Just like choose love unapologetically. I always like. I say it so often and I mean it. It's just something that is, in my opinion, just more needed. Also to just find these connections out in the world, whether that's romantic or not. Like what we need in the world right now is love and connection and finding this bridge for other people. And by that I think we would also save ourselves a lot more chaos through miscommunication. Because like what I experience on my like very well dating life and stuff is that the bridge to most stuff is mostly communication. And I think it's also, we would save us a lot more drama if sometimes we just, and this is not even on a romantic level, but just simply say, like, I don't think you're my type of person. Like, I'm simply not vibing with you, but no hard feelings. Yeah, like, you do you, and I do me. Because sometimes that happens when you have the same friends group, but maybe there's a person that you don't really match along with. And then you're like, oh gosh, I have to pretend again. Like you should never pretend. Like I would rather that someone comes up to me and say, like, you're a bit too much for me. And I'm like, okay, that says a lot more about you than it says about me, but thank you for telling me. We should be more okay with like understanding that we're not meant for everyone, but at the same time, it saves us so much more drama. And then we can just focus on what we really love and who we want to love and what you're doing with the like daily stuff. I think that's such a beautiful thing to do, and as I said, in this society, because yeah, I don't know, I wouldn't classify myself as a romantic, like which is ironic because I write obviously shit things and stuff in my books. And in that sense, I would say I'm a bit more the philosopher type on the romantic spectrum. So like you can, which is also funny because I'm a witch, so I do love candles, but not if you put them all around my bathtub, please. But you know, I think that this is also the thing, like we know these stereotypes like from Hollywood with like red roses and stuff, and I'm not saying that any of this wrong. I just think like even that is a spectrum, and that we shouldn't be afraid to express that and just like, you know, be upfront with it, because like you never know what's going to happen. And but at the same time, and I think that's the struggle that we're all facing, is because nowadays it's so easy to reach out to people. Like we have Instagram, even like to our favorite stuffs, even though they have millions and trillions of followers, you can message them. Like there is a way to message these people, whether they answer or not, that's not up to you basically. But we have it so easy to access this kind of like basically contact with other people, that we often forget that when someone doesn't message us back or leaves us unseen, we often take it quite personal and stuff. But we all have life, and it's so difficult sometimes. Like obviously if I don't know, if you just met someone and then you just make this whole giant wall of text, I can also understand when someone says like, whoa, okay, I'm not used to this, which is fair enough, because like we live in this society, as I said, with fast pace and like, hey, how's it going? You want to go on a date? Yeah, okay. And I'm always like, but we haven't even like, do we even like the same topics? And like, some people are out, like, I guess it's also like there's, when you're like from the 90s, you're in the bridge of like, we know it when there was no internet, and now there is the internet. So I sometimes am like really old school in the sense of like, why is no one asking me out? Like just doing it. But then it's like we live on social media and everyone has an opinion and everyone is assuming that something is going to happen, or like has already happened in the background. And I think that's our big enemy sometimes, that we are so afraid of rejection through social media rather than having a certain kind of honesty. And take this from someone that has been basically forced into relate, not forced in the sense of like I was forced physically, but so I grew up in a very Christian conservative environment, even though my family is very liberal. So the classic society standard was basically, when you come to a certain age, it's so cool to have a boyfriend, and like everything is great, and like everyone should have a boyfriend, like this is how we roll. And then also reverse, like you come to this age because, like, with the where I grew up, we also have these dance schools. So it was basically this tradition of, like, at some point you're gonna find a dance partner and then you're gonna go to the dance school. First of all, I was not into classic dancing. I appreciate dancing, but I was always on the other spectrum of contemporary hip-hop urban dance. So, and you don't need a dance partner for that. I mean, it's nice, but you rather go to courses and workshops than the traditional classic dancing. So there was not a point in my life where, until I came to London, where I actually questioned, like, okay, what is actually up with my sexuality? What is up with my gender? Do I even, like, am I, what is going on here? And so I had this whole cycle of many, many relationships, dating stuff in between. Like, I don't even, like, there are certain labels I could put on them. I would rather say, like, certain things happen, and I always call it X's nose. Because it's like, sometimes when I look back at my history, I really go, like, oh yeah, that happened. And it's, you come to the circle, and I would say it's kind of like an equal thing as well, because, like you just mentioned, you've never been in a relationship, which I think is honestly such a healthy thing to do, that you've never pressured yourself into something. Because I have the complete opposite. Like, I've been always in a cycle up and even if it wasn't a, like, relationship as it's classified in society, I always had someone, whether that was a crush or just something that was kind of going towards a relationship. I always had someone up until this year. Like, this is, if you would make a clean cut, this is my first year of being completely single. And just, I mean, we are all guilty of certain crushes, and I'm very guilty of flirting with a lot of people. But this is also the thing, just because I'm flirting with you doesn't mean I directly want to jump with you, because I'm on the asexual spectrum and I'm demisexual. So it's like, there's so much to unpack and stuff. And in society, or where I grew up, it was so implemented, this whole thing of, like, yeah, you should, you know, find someone and stuff. But on the other hand, what you did is just, honestly, you saved yourself so much trauma and so many moments of trial and error, basically. And again, I don't regret any of this. I just sometimes think, like, oh my God, like, did no one ever stop me from doing this, from being with this person? And it's such a pressure that is put on people of, like, yeah, you should be in a relationship. But I think nowadays, what is the more healthier way is, do not let yourself being, like, yeah, we all have moments where we are lonely. But this is the thing. We are never lonely in itself. Each of us has a social circle. There are rarely, and I know there are people obviously out there homeless on the street and stuff. But as harsh as it sounds, we are all connected. And, like, we're never completely alone. And I would rather be on my own and, like you, now wait for the right person where I feel, because the thing is, like, what no one talks about is that relationship is a hard work thing. And if you're not sure with yourself, and this is the thing, you will never have that moment of, like, oh, now I'm 100% myself, everything is great, and now this person is gonna come along. No, it will more be the thing of, like, I know myself somewhat, like 80%, and there's always going to be like 20% that are really shit, and, like, maybe you have mental health issues or whatever it is, but the right person will accept you for that, or will see beyond what you're struggling with, or even say, like, and I'm the one that's going to help you, and, like, it's going to work out that way. But just in general, it's, you're saving yourself so much if you're just valuing your own values, because, like, what a lot of people, and I see it again, and this is the funny thing. So I have so much experience, but also I'm now single, or technically you could say I've been single for, like, in an official relationship much longer. But as I said, like, this is the thing, like, we always have these labels and stuff, but I don't really like to put labels on it. And, like, for example, it's also this thing of, oh, do you have a crush? And I'm like, do you really want to have this conversation? Because I think it's going to make your heteronormative world really uncomfortable. And then it's just, you know, it's okay to just figure yourself out, and just, because by the time you're going to meet that person, you will have a certain ground confidence. That is also, I've once saw this post, I think it's like, it was this thing of, having a single female or something, I mean, this is something I would put regardless of gender, someone that is basically single, getting them away from this ground of who they are with being on their own to the right kind of person is something that is not everyone going to accomplish. Because when you are on your own like this, I mean, this is obviously also just my experience, but you are constantly like focusing on stuff that is really about you. Like, you get to know yourself in ways that is really healthy. Because I know a lot of people who just jump and run into relationships and they are not capable of sorting their shit out. The majority of people I know, or like not the majority, but the majority that I have experienced throughout life and stuff with people, they have communication problems. Like, the majority is always this thing of like, and then I ask them and it's like, have you talked to each other? No. Then why are you talking to me? Like, why? I'm not your therapist. I mean, if you pay me for mentoring, it's different. But it's this thing of like, in a relationship, you have to have a certain strong knowing of who you are, in the sense of like, know your own values, or it's going to turn into something very toxic. And on the other side, and this is a scary process. You have to be vulnerable. You have to be open to the other person, because otherwise, what are you going to do? Like, it's simply not going to work out then. Like, if you try to hide things from your partner, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't have certain secrets, because like, I'm not saying in a sense of like, oh, this is what you're going to hide. I'm just saying, like, depending on when your partner comes into your life, you already have a lot story written, right? So, and most likely when you meet your partner, they are not going to know everything from the beginning. And like, there's most likely stuff that they might not never know, not because you don't want them to, but we have experienced so much as people individually. Like, do you just want to sit down with your partner and tell them all these stories, like one by one by one? That's, I mean, some people do it, but also like, don't be afraid of like, you know, having this whole pressure of like, you should suddenly like go for a soul strip. It's like, if it's the right person, you have a lot of years to come to do that and stuff. And still, like, if you feel like not sharing something, but for a genuine means, that's also okay. So essentially, to wrap this up here, it's just so healthy to just, you know, have that stance to be on your own and just, you know, in that sense, also enjoy life. Because, you know, hopefully we all have a certain long life to live. So if you are aiming to be with someone for the end of days, and you're going to find this person, let's say, in your 30s or 40s or whatever, and at the same time, if you are with someone where you feel like no matter what, it's not going to work out, do yourself a favor and break up with this person. There are so many people out in this world that are ready for you to take you as who you are. Because like, we are always so... And this happens, you know, because it's a society standard. It's this thing of like, oh no, you can't get a divorce, you can't break up. But it's so healthy for you, because there are also couples who break up and then come back together, because it depends on what you need individually. Because sometimes, you know, in a relationship evolves, and then you just have to see where it goes. So don't be afraid, because you're not alone. Also, if you're feeling lonely, just listen to this podcast. I know that's such a shit advice, but it can be simple things like this, you know, just listen to your favorite podcast, watch your favorite movies. The amount of times I have watched that with Timothy Chalamet on days where I'm just feeling not good. It's okay. And like, the person, like, and I know this is so cheesy and overdone, but love yourself first, and then the person is going to come to you. It's an inside outside thing. It's a psychological thing. So many ways have proven this. I can possibly prove this in a couple of months, because I'm feeling like I'm finally doing what I was always meant to do, and then everything else is going to come along. So this is also something that I want you guys to take away from this. Know yourself first, not only like, not in every matter, you don't have to have everything figured out, but know yourself first in the sense of like, this is who I am. This, for example, I also have mental health issues. I suffer from certain anxiety, but I know this, and like, I know how to deal with it, and like, the person that is going to be with me, they also have to deal with it and stuff like that. And you know, it's okay. Like, you don't have to be 100% polished or whatever. That's a big bullshit lie in Hollywood system. That's not going to work out for you. We always have a certain baggage that we carry around with, and then, you know, but if you just stick to your truth, stick to your values and stuff. And, you know, at the same time, if you just want to be single for I don't know how long, or if you're poly or whatever, just go for it. Like, just be who you want to be, honestly. Like, as long as you don't discriminate, label, box, hurt someone on purpose, or try to convince them of your belief, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, right. Okay, so much pep talk. Is there anything else that you would like to say, or just go with it?
Yeah, what I learned from my first trip to Atlanta, just for a photo with Alicia and telling her how she inspired me in life, is always follow your heart. No matter if people or your own mind say you're crazy, if you do not follow and trust your heart, you'll probably regret it for the rest of your life. If I wouldn't have followed my heart this first time, I wouldn't have had the courage to start my own creative journey in 2020. Because I knew following my heart was the right decision. Following your heart and doing what you're passionate about most will always be rewarding. Never let anyone tell you what's right or wrong when it comes to what your heart wants. No matter who you fall in love with, no matter who or what's important to you, when it makes you genuinely happy, go for it. And to me, it's so important having a strong belief in destiny, karma, law of attraction, however you might call it. This also gave me hope that what I've been doing for months will work out, and it kind of did work out. So trust your heart, follow your heart, and have faith in destiny. What's meant for you will come to you. Don't force it, don't hunt it, simply be patient. No matter what you do, if it's going your own way, starting a business, or simply breathing, there will be always doubters or haters. You can't please anyone, but you should be happy for yourself. Appreciate the small successes, be grateful and kind. Trust that everything will work out, even when it seems it doesn't. Sometimes your goals are closer than you know. Don't give up on yourself and your dreams. Your plan might not work out as expected, but that doesn't mean you should lose faith or give up. My plan originally was to be in Sydney by now. Thinking about what could have happened is something I was thinking recently. But if I missed something, makes me kind of sad, but I had to change my plan this year. Instead of doing this work and travel adventure, I continued my creative journey. Life will throw some unexpected obstacles on your path. Don't let them stop you.
Thank you so much for sharing this. I mean, this whole episode has already been so much full of advice and inspiration stuff. I'm so happy about this. Honestly, thank you so much for being here and taking us on this inspiring journey. I'm pretty sure at some point you're also going to be back with more cool stories to share. Yeah, if anything, there was so much we talked about today. So I hope wherever you are in the world right now, guys, you take something away from this and, you know, just go for your dreams, because I will keep pushing harder as well, obviously. You know me. Now it's only just going to start. I always keep saying it, but 2022, world domination, it's going to happen. And also thank you. Yeah, as I said, thank you for being here today, Mirko. It's been an absolute blast. And on that note, wherever you are in the world right now, guys, day, night, about to have a good sleep. I hope you have amazing dreams and just dream about your visions and go hard for them. And we see each other next time on the hear each other next time on the Gigi and Saji show. Bye-bye.
Bye.